Today is Misha Sunday. Latrissa's not feeling well. She is under the weather today. So I'm going to be your missions director for today. It's not quite been a year ago. It's been about 9 months, I guess. Last August, there was a few of us from Voice of Praise Worship Center that took a trip down south. We went to Peru, to help out on a project that this church, that original portion of that project was $30,000. This church contributed $10,000 to that $30,000 of that project. This is what it looked like when we got, we were right in the edge of the Amazon jungle. We weren't in the rainforest, but we were in the jungle. Right down there were, parrots. There were, what else did we have down there? They said we had black boas and all this. We know we had jungle fires. It was 110 degree heat index many days while we were there working. This is what we found. They had columns poured and they had footers in the ground and stacks of brick and bags of concrete everywhere and barrels of muddy water to mix the concrete with. Well, we worked, the team, us along with several others from the Appalachian Conference, which we are a part of, went down and worked, and when we left two walls just like you see, and a portion of the back wall had been laid up, bricked up, and, I don't have a current picture, I apologize for it, we had some problems getting pictures out of Pastor David. But David Pugh was with us just a few weeks ago, and you may remember David. And David shared with you what was going on in Peru. And there's a pastor that's taken on this church, and it's right there in the edge of the jungle, and there's a 12-acre piece of land, which is a great blessing. And there's villages all around. And guess how many other churches there are right there in that community? None. We're the only church there in that community. And when Pastor David Pugh shared with you a few weeks ago, and all of us actually in the service, it's been a month ago today, I guess, or 3 weeks ago today, he shared with you that now the building is up, all the walls are up, but it needs a roof on it. And he shared with you the need of the roof. Well, my missions report for you today is with finances that we had earmarked in missions here in our church and with the agreement of your church council and myself and, along with other contributors, we are going to be sending a $4,000 check to help with put that roof off. Now, The roof was approximately $15,000 in total. They had a $8,800 deficit. So we're sending $4,000. That means there's $4,800 left to complete that roof. But we're just believing in God is going to make a way. When I say the roof, I'm talking about a metal girders that's the way they do business down there, construction metal girders that will be welded and the sheet metal for on the girders and all like that. But thank you so much for being faithful to give to the work of missions. And we're just believing that God is setting Peru on fire. And I almost forgot this part. That's the most important part. Let me see if I can find it real quickly. Pastor David sent me a message last night, and if I can find it here, and I'm going to stick this up next to my mic, and hopefully you can hear it.
Pastor, thank you so much. I'm going to send a video to you guys. Just to say thank you to the church. I'll send just a quick video, probably just take it with my cell phone. But we really appreciate everything that you guys are doing for us and joining with us on this. This really frees our heart and our mind up. It allows us to really push forward. And we are so much closer now to the goal. Thank you.
Okay. So thank you for giving to missions at Voice of Praise. Amen. Amen. You do a good job. Give yourself a hand for being faithful givers to mission. Well, we're going to go ahead to my PowerPoint, Nikki. I want to share with you a word this morning that, sometimes, and you may not grasp this unless you have ministered or you're a minister of the gospel. Sometimes after specific holidays like Easter, Resurrection Sunday, last Sunday, there's so much hype that's involved with it. You know, it's a really elevated time of worship for us. And then to come the next Sunday and preach a message after that, sometimes it's a bit of a challenge. I'll just put it that way. So I really wrestled a lot this week with what I was going to preach on, and really what I settled in on, what I feel like the Lord led me into, is really a very simple message. But I hope it blesses your heart this morning. It's not a sequel, but it's part of the continuing, ongoing Easter story. We want you to turn to the book of John chapter 20. And as you turn into John chapter 20, let me say again, welcome home to Voice of Praise. We're a family of believers. We're doing life together here. If you're looking for a perfect person in a perfect church, well, you come to the wrong place this morning. Even Nathan over here, he's not perfect as much as he likes to be, Now, I'm just picking at him. That's an inside joke among us here at Voice of Praise. So welcome home. We're glad you're here. I want to preach this morning from John chapter 20. I want to preach a message that I just simply entitled, Show Me Your Hands. Show me your hands. John chapter 20 and verse number 20. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Now, the scene here, you can read this for yourself. Jesus appeared in a room. You see, we value the picture very much of Jesus standing at the door and knocking, but Jesus, he just showed up. He just showed up in the room. Then go on down a few more verses to verse 24. It says, now Thomas, also known as Didymus, that means twin, by the way. Thomas, also known as Didymus, and I wondered, since he was a twin, I wondered if twin means that somebody else is just like him. Maybe it's you and I. Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, which means one of the 12 disciples, was not with the disciples when Jesus came, when Jesus appeared before his followers just after the empty tomb was discovered. Jesus appeared to his followers, but Thomas wasn't there in that gathering. Says, so Thomas was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Verse 26. A week later, the disciples were in the house again. Same place. They were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them. My red letters are Jesus' words. They don't appear very good. I apologize. But Jesus said, peace be with you. And then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side and stop doubting and believe. And Thomas said to him, my Lord, my God. I want to preach to you again for the next few minutes with the thought in mind, show me your hands. Now I want you to try to put yourself in the situation of these disciples. I want you to try to imagine how they feel. You know, we're sitting here a couple of thousand years later, and we're reading the stories of Jesus. We're reading the Bible as was written out, but yet it was being lived out in their time. I want you to put yourself in the position of just thinking about what's going on in their lives. Think about that John 20, as we read to you, those few verses of scripture actually take place over 8 days. It's been a week. It's been a week, actually a week and a day, since Jesus had been resurrected or known to be resurrected from the dead at that time. And on that resurrection day, Jesus had permitted Mary Magdalene to see him. But if you read verse 17 in the King James Version, Jesus tells Mary, "You can't touch me because I've not yet been glorified." Put yourself in the situation of these people. Later on that same day, Jesus visited with more disciples that had taken shelter, a safe shelter. In fact, if you read the text, you will find that they even found themselves behind locked doors. Now why? Because they were in fear of their lives. They feared for their lives. Listen, they didn't understand in the day that all of this played out, some 2,000 years ago, this was not only a spiritual occurrence to them, but it was also a political occurrence that was going on in Jerusalem. These people feared for their lives. You remember the accusations of Peter. Some of you may recall that. When Jesus was being led off to be crucified, and he told Peter, he said, "You're going to deny me." And Peter said, "Oh no." And then Peter's warming by the fire. Somebody says, "Oh, aren't you one of those Jesus followers?" "Nah, not me." It's, you know, and he cursed and denied Christ. See, we could criticize Peter really, real quickly and real easily, but I want you to understand, in your minds, I'm trying to have you to imagine how difficult this time was, how scary this time was. You know, I hear people say that all the time. They said, "Well, I don't care if somebody pointed a gun to my head, I'll never deny my Lord." I don't know, I've never had one pointed in my head. And I would like to think I would be that spiritually strong. But let me tell you, Larry, if you haven't checked it out yet, Rural King has a new gun. It's the 500 Magnum Smith & Wesson. That thing has a barrel on it this big around. If you haven't seen it, it's $1,423, just in case, you know, she asked, okay? I don't know if somebody pointed a 500 Smith & Wesson to my head and told me to deny the Lord. I don't know what's going to run through my mind in that time. Now, you may be a whole lot more stronger than me, and maybe that thought don't even enter your mind. But if somebody did that to me, I tell you what, it's probably going to cause my mind to race. Now, if you're stronger than that, God bless you. But my mind is probably going to race. These people were found themselves in a very indecisive time. If you, they did not know what was happening. Let's think about it. This guy comes in the, and he's taught us, and we've followed him, and we've looked upon him as a rabbi, and now he's been crucified and he was buried, but we don't even know where the tomb is empty, you know. And then let's begin to think about, well, what are these Pharisees? What are they going to do to me? What's going to happen to me? Are they going to come after us? Are they going to crucify us too? Are they going to burn us at the stake? You see, these people had, they had no idea what was happening and what was unfolding and what was going to happen. And Jesus came to them. And this crucifixion was an absolute spiritual event, but the political occurrence of that day was pushing followers that feared for their life into this house. And some of them, just like Thomas, they weren't really sure who to believe or whom to even trust. Can you imagine all the rumors churning out? Now I know none of y'all believe in rumors. That's the reason you read the J&J News on Facebook, okay? None of y'all believe rumors. But can you imagine the rumor mill of Jerusalem? What was being churned out in this next few days? Mixed stories. There probably was even a few conspiracy theories. None of you believe those. None of y'all even have conspiracy theories. There was conspiracy theories. There was mixed stories. Could it possibly been a cover-up? Could have somebody really stolen the body of Jesus? But when we get a glimpse of Jesus, the atmosphere changes. When we see Jesus, things begin to look differently, especially when he shows up and he didn't use the door. Mm-hmm. Like, how would you be if you're sitting in your easy chair watching NCIS and Jesus all of a sudden is sitting over there on the couch? Mm-hmm. Put yourself in this position. Think about what it must have been like. Jesus' hands were all convincing of his identity. He let them see that. They had caught the revelation. And they began to tell people. But Thomas didn't believe. Thomas says, I hear you guys. I trust you, but I don't trust you. You're my friends, but there is so much happened around this town in the last week. I really don't know who, and I really don't know what to believe. And he has been tagged with the name Doubting Thomas. And maybe you've been called a Doubting Thomas from time to time. I have. Doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas. Well, again, like I mentioned about Peter, we could criticize Thomas. We could say, well, that rascal, he just really wasn't where he needed to be with God, or he would have realized who God was. But I believe Thomas is put in Scripture for a purpose and a reason. I believe Thomas existed for a purpose and a reason. I believe that the doubt, as we call it, that Thomas had is there for our benefit. Can we criticize Thomas? Can we rightfully criticize Thomas when we haven't been in his shoes? Sometimes we're quick to criticize another because maybe it's because we haven't been in their shoes. And once you walk in the shoes or in the path that somebody else has walked, then everything can seem totally different. Thomas no doubt was frightened. Thomas no doubt Thomas had doubt. He was not buying into this whole story until he tested the waters for himself. Now why? You know, it's funny, Vicki, you were getting on to this morning in life groups, and she, the ones that were in life. And listen, if you've never come to a life group, come an hour early and be part of a life group. I think you would be blessed. We're talking about fake Christians and fake Christianity, and that's really, they don't really mix, you know. There's no such thing as a fake Christian, and there's no such thing as fake Christianity, but we understand that terminology. And perhaps, just wonder, just in my mind, as my mind rambles, I just wonder if maybe that Thomas had inquired some fake Christians. Some hyper-spiritual people that had some kind of epiphany that really didn't happen at all, and they labeled it all as being from God. Everything that boast of being of God is not necessarily of God. I hate to tell you that. I'm not trying to make you into a doubter, but everything that boasts of God or says it's of God is not necessarily of God. And I'm talking about things apart from the scripture, apart from the word of God. Maybe, just maybe, Thomas had found himself at some point in time deceived by a false prophet or a rotten preacher. And there are rotten preachers out there. Maybe Thomas had some things to happen to him. Or could it be that Thomas's intellect had interfered with his faith? Thomas was probably a very smart man, just judging from his career. Maybe his intellect interfered with his ability to believe. John the Beloved offered us some instruction though in matters. And maybe this stands in Thomas's defense. This perhaps it stands in Thomas's defense, because John the Beloved said, "Dear friends," 1 John 4:1, by the way, if you're looking for this, he says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Many false prophets have gone out into the world." So while we sit back, it's easy for us to criticize Thomas. There's something also to be admired about Thomas, because Thomas wanted to know that this was real. He wanted to know that this genuinely is the Christ. This truly is the man that had been nailed to the cross. This truly is the man that was dead a few days ago, but is now alive. You see, the wonderful thing about Jesus is He knows our struggles. He knows our struggles. Even when our faith in Him is stretched, Jesus knows about it. He knows our struggles and He understands our struggles. But I want you to know this. The Holy Spirit is a revealer. If you examine a couple verses that I didn't read this morning, if you go back and you read verses 21 and 23, you will find that Jesus reveals the working of the Holy Spirit. And in doing so, Jesus makes a direct correlation between the revelation of Christ and being forgiven. In other words, there's no way that we can be saved without having a revelation of who Jesus is. In 1 Corinthians 12:3, Paul teaches us that nobody can come to the Lord except it be by the working of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So, in order to come to the Lord, there is a revealing. If Jesus is Lord, and He is, there is forgiveness to be had and to be given. But that work comes through and by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is known as an advocate. He's known as a comfort. He is known as our guide. But He is also the revealer. He is the person that reveals to us the person of Jesus Christ in the fullness of salvation. In other words, listen, if anybody in this room that is saved today, there's no way that you were saved apart from the Holy Spirit dealing with your heart. The Holy Spirit drew you. The Holy Spirit convicted you. The Holy Spirit brought you into that place. He revealed the Lord Jesus Christ to you in order that you could believe upon Him and be saved. Now, if you're in this room and you have not been saved, you have not come to a relationship with Jesus Christ, I've got good news for you. The Holy Spirit loves you just as much as He loves me, and the Holy Spirit is drawing you just the same as He has drawn me and many others that sit in this room this morning. Or if you're watching my live stream, the Holy Spirit is drawing you right there in your living room or in the car that you're driving or wherever you may be. The Holy Spirit is drawing you. You say, "How do you know that, preacher?" I know that, and I believe that because you're sitting in this room this morning, or you're watching by an iPhone or a tablet or a computer or maybe even on your TV today. But I believe that the Holy Spirit is revealing the man Jesus Christ to you in order that you too can believe just like Thomas. So what happens? Jesus shows up, boom, right in the middle of the room where Thomas is at. I heard what you all are saying, but I'm not going to believe this. Unless, I'm just not like you guys. I can picture this conversation, and this is a hypothetical conversation, okay? I can picture Thomas. Hey, I'm just not like you guys. I mean, I understand y'all listened to Mary. You heard what Mary had to say. I understand that Jesus came by, but you all didn't get to touch him. You all didn't get to feel him or anything like that. He said, I'm not going to believe until I get to touch the prints in his hands. I'm not going to believe until I can feel the wound in his side. I'm not going to believe any of this until I can experience that for myself. And that's what it took for Thomas. I don't know what it's exactly going to take for you, but I believe that the Holy Spirit is going to reveal that to you. I believe the Holy Spirit is at work in your life. But here's what happens. Jesus' hands did a work in Thomas. When Jesus presented himself to Thomas, listen to me, what occurs? What occurs is a revelation. Because the Bible says, Romans 12:3, the Bible says that we have all been given a measure of faith. Everyone, don't anybody in this room ever said, I would get saved, but I can't believe. Don't anybody say in this room that there's no way I could get saved because I don't believe, because you're contradicting the Word of God, because the Word of God says to every man has been given a measure of faith. Your faith might not be the faith to lay hands on people and see them healed. Your faith may not be the faith to call down fire from heaven. Your faith may not be any kind of faith like that. But every single person in this room and under the sound of my voice this morning, as far as that goes, anybody, anywhere, there you have been given faith, and that is enough faith that you may believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and you can be saved as the Holy Spirit reveals Jesus to you. So what happens? Jesus said, come on over here, Tom. Go ahead. Just go ahead. You go ahead and feel my hands. It's okay. You can go ahead and feel on my side. It's okay. And we see that all of a sudden that the encountering the presence of Jesus is causing Thomas to receive a revelation. So, I would this morning that there would be a few more Thomases to arise. I would this morning that there would be just a few more people that say, if I could touch his hands, if I could touch his side, then I would believe. And I'm not speaking, of course, in a physical sense. If I could experience God like this or that or someone, I would believe, I would follow. Perhaps you're that person that's full of faith like Mary and that early bunch of disciples. But then again, you might be like Thomas and you just may need to experience something. Can I be very frank with you all this morning? I would say, can I be honest? But if I said that I would also tend to be dishonest. So I'll be very frank with you all this morning. I find myself very often saying, Lord, I just need to see you. I find myself every once in a while saying, Lord, I just need to hear your voice. I find myself every once in a while saying, Lord, I just need to feel your touch. I find myself very often saying, God, where are you? I need you. I need to feel you. Show me your hands and show me your feet. Let me see your side, Lord. And yet the Lord may let me walk by faith for a season of my life. But I want to reassure you this. God always shows up exactly when I need him the most. Now, when I need him the most is not necessarily when I think I need him the most. When I need him the most is not necessarily when I think I need him the most, but when I need him the most is when he sees the plan unfolding that he's laid out for my life. And when that plan begins to unfold, and then the Lord just shows up in the minute of time, that the moment of time that I need him, it's then that I can be like Thomas and I can say, my Lord, my God. My Lord, my God. I thought I was walking alone, but you were with me all the time. My Lord, my God, I thought the things could only get worse, but then you show up right in the nick of time. Yeah, and it's in that moment that I received the revelation. And you see, it's in that moment that Thomas received the revelation that he cried out those words, my Lord, my God. And it all came through the revealing of Jesus Christ. That was inspired by the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus knows what's best for me even when I have my doubts. He knew what was best for Thomas even though Thomas was doubting. He knows what's best for you even though you may have your doubts. So why did Jesus wait a week to catch up to Thomas? Thomas, full of skepticism. I got an answer for that. I don't have a clue. I don't know why Jesus waited a week to reveal himself to Thomas. I don't know why he showed up at the tomb of Lazarus 4 days late. I don't know why a lot of things unfold like they fold. And let me tell you something. If you can find somebody that can tell you why everything unfolds, I can't tell you why the stuff that has happened in your life the way it has happened. I can't tell you. I can't tell you why somebody dies premature death or dies early in life. I'm not going to give you a foolish answer and like that, well, God needed you more than you needed them. God needed them more than you needed them. I'm not going to give you a foolish answer like that, because really the one way I have a very particular way of describing answers like that to the hard questions of life. It's dumb. Okay? I don't have all the answers. I don't pretend to have all the answers. But I know that God holds the earth in the palm of His hand. And not only does He hold the earth in the palm of His hand, He said, I have you in the palm of my hand. If you have given your life to Him and you surrendered your all and all to Him, He said, you are in the palm of my hand and no man has the ability to pluck you out of my hand. And I don't have all the questions to all of the answers, but God knows everything that's happened. He knows everything that's going on. And He has perfect timing, and He knows everything that needs to happen in your life. So you may need to feel the nail prints. You may need to thrust your head in your side. But just in the right amount of time, at the right timing, God is going to show up in your life. He is going to reveal Himself to you. And you are going to have faith that's going to arise in your life. Jesus is manifesting through miracles, signs, and wonders today. But I want you to know this. The greatest revelation of who Jesus is found within the pages of this book. Don't worry about signs. Don't concern yourself with wonders. I've been reading something other day, and I'll be honest with you, it said it was an E4 earthquake, and it's going to be a E4 eclipse or something like that. And it read Ephesians 4, and all this stuff is going to line up tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. They tell me that the sun, moon's going to cover the sun. Don't look up at it because it's going to burn your eyes, and that's probably true. It's probably going to happen. I don't know anything else that may happen. It might snow because we're in West Virginia. It could rain because we're in West Virginia. You could get sunburned tomorrow because we're in West Virginia if the eclipse don't happen. And there's all kinds of stuff could happen tomorrow, but I don't really know for certain what is going to happen. But I know somebody that does, and His name is Jesus, and He will be with you if you will hold on to His hand and you will let Him lead you. So listen, show me your hands. God, just show me. I should have had y'all sing that song, Show Me Your Glory. So show me your hands, God. Show me your hands. Just reveal yourself to me, whatever you're struggling with today. Whatever you may find yourself struggling with tomorrow, this is what I want you to do. I just want you to look to the Lord and say, show me your hands, Lord. Show me your hands. Show me your side. Just let your Holy Spirit reveal you to me, Lord. And I promise you, even if it seems like it's 8 days later, God is going to show you just in the proper time His glory. Can you bow your heads with me and close your eyes? Father, we need to see you today. We want to behold your glory. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the power of your word. And we believe that your word is the ultimate. Sometimes we just desire to see your glory, to behold your presence. And God, today as we begin to draw this service to a close, God, I just want you to minister in the hearts and lives of the men and women, boys and girls in this room. God, I just want you to somehow, through faith, let us see you. Let us behold.